Excellent Father, we thank you. Thank you for this great opportunity to sit at your feet, to look into your word. I'm asking and praying that your word will change us. Change us from within and make us become more like Jesus. Thank you, Father. We ask that your spirit will interpret everything said today and grant that the eyes of men be open to understand what you are saying, to the glory of your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Single and prepared. Single and prepared. I'd like you to turn your Bibles with me. First of all, let's take a bearing from scriptures. Of course, I know this topic will elicit, is supposed to elicit questions. So while I'm talking, if you have questions, please note them down. In the month of October, throughout the month of October, I'll be teaching on marriage, relationship, and everything around it throughout the month of October. So this is, maybe call it an appetizer, maybe call it whatever, just to introduce it. But the whole of October, we'll be treating, we'll settle down to treat marriage, relationship, and the likes of them. Why is it important? Why is it important? I imagine that I had a very terrible marriage. Imagine that what I have in my house is not working. And I've just been posted to Nuazak. I've just been told that I need to teach these topics. Honestly, I would do everything possible to avoid it. I don't know if I get what I'm saying. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is so difficult to teach what you are not. So difficult. You must be a very great pretender to be able to talk about things you've not experienced. And honestly, I tell people, in the kingdom, it is not so much about the words that you say, it's about the spirit accompanying what you say. You cannot give birth to something that is not your kind. Every human on earth, animals, will always give birth to its kind. So, if this is not a reality that I'm living in, it will be very difficult to teach this. Because honestly, there are questions that will confront you as a person, especially in the 21st century, that you better be living that life to be able to answer those questions. If you are a very good pretender, you will pretend max 3 months and your cover will be blown. Meanwhile, all around us in the world today, what we want to discuss is the major problem of people. Every societal problem you see today stems from a family. I have discovered that if we can get the family right, we'll get society right. If you can just figure out the family and get it right, we'll get society right. Also, if you can get the individuals who make up this marriage right, you will get the marriage right. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8. I need 4 versions. The TPT version, if it's possible. The Message version. The CEB version. And the ERV version, if it's possible. Okay, let me start with the TPT version. I have it here. Just in case, if you have that same version, please, it will be nice that we read together. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8. So let me say to the unmarried and those who have lost their spouses, it is fine for you to remain single as I am. Many of us can't even believe that this is in scriptures. To the single people, say it is fine. It is best for you to remain single. Message translation. I do, though, tell the unmarried and widows that singleness might well be the best thing for them. Are you seeing it? I don't know if I'm following what I'm saying. I tell the unmarried and widows that singleness might well be the best thing for them. And I'll prove it today that what all of us should strive for, even the married, honestly, as I dug deeper into this topic, I discovered that for you to have a great marriage, you need to be single. I will show you. CEB translation. CEB says, I am telling those who are single and widows that it's good for them to stay single like me. It is good for them to stay single. And the last version is the ERV version. Now, for those who are not married and for the widows, I say this, it is good for you to stay single like me. During our anniversary week, many of us may have forgotten, but I didn't forget. I'm sure those guys in drama unit will remember. The drama they acted here. Who remembers that drama? On the drama day. Who remembers that drama? You don't remember again? I saw the divorced woman complaining and talking so terribly. I saw the single, in quotes, lady also complaining, why am I single? Or why am I unmarried? Because we also get to understand the correct meaning of singleness. The lady was so angry. God, you are forsaking me. You didn't give me a husband and all those things. And I saw the married couple or the married lady trying to say the stress is too much. I need to come out of marriage. I don't know if you saw that drama. So that was very instructive for me. I think one of the best things that have happened to me in life is to stay single. Stay single. Stay single. Let's go right into it. What does it mean to be single? Because that will give us context to what we are discussing. Many people believe that singleness means, or being single means, you are not married, right? You're not married, or maybe something is not working out. You've tried somehow. It looks like you don't have any spouse or something. But as I dug further, I began to discover that there is a more serious definition about singleness or being single that I think has helped me. Because at times there are things you do, you won't even understand how come you're doing it. But as you begin to ask questions and ask the right questions, certain things begin to come to the fore. And one of them is being single. What does it mean to be single? I got two definitions that has to do with what I am discussing this morning or this evening. The first one speaks to independence and autonomy. Independence and autonomy. I will explain it. Many people view being single as a positive state of personal freedom. It provides the space and time to focus entirely on your own goals, hobbies, and personal growth without having to consider a partner's needs. This is somewhat a bit selfish, but it's part of the definition of being single. But the one I want to discuss is singleness as wholeness. Singleness or being single means being whole. It is about being a complete, underline the word, a complete, unique, an independently whole individual. Being single is about being a complete, unique, and independently whole individual rather than relying on a relationship to make you happy or define your identity. Did you get it? Please, this is not one of those days we are just moping. Please, make sure you are noting things down, please. It's for your own good. Being single refers to that state of being a complete, underline the word complete, unique, and independently whole individual, rather than relying on a relationship to make you happy or define your identity. What am I trying to say here? Being single is a state that every one of us should pursue. I see many young ladies that looks like they have packed their lives because they are not married. So they apply the pause button in their lives because they believe that they cannot be happy as, in quote, single. They need a man to validate them. I see many people hoping that we won't move further in life. We will wait until we are married before we do anything with our lives. Follow me, these thoughts. Number one, singleness is the foundation of all human relationships. I repeat, being single is the foundation of all human relationship. Always think through singleness as being whole. In my little experience, I have discovered that hurt people usually will hurt others. So when you are dealing with a kind of trauma in your life and you don't take time to deal completely with it to get healed, and you believe, many ladies, oh my God, as I'm talking, I'm thinking of somebody now. The last time I still spoke to her, she was excited telling me about the new guy, the new boyfriend, and he knew everything. And guess what? I've known her for almost 7 years. The same mistake that happened in the first one is already happening now. She came from a dysfunctional home. There is so much money, but there is a problem in the home. And I see her looking for something in a man. The first guy she dated, before you said Jack Robinson, she has moved into the guy's house. They are not married. But she believes that if I come into his house and show him love, he will marry me. And I saw that, I've seen that cycle at least 3 times. In fact, the last time I was speaking to her again, she still told me, sir, I've even moved into his house. And I'm like, oh God, you are repeating the same mistake again. What is chasing her? The family background, the father and the mother are always at each other's truth. So she believes that the best way to escape this is if I can find a man to love me and I give him my all, he will love me. But this man, usually when they are done with her, they will now tell her, please, my mother said, usually that's the line. My mother said that I cannot marry from. And it has happened several times. It reminds me of the woman at the well. She had been with five men, the current one, 6. Then she was meeting Jesus at the 7th man. Thank God that Jesus was able to spot it. Else, if Jesus was not also Jesus who he was, Jesus would have added to the 7th man. I'm telling you. Many ladies do not know that Every man can spot a desperate girl from far. And they know what you want. You want to hear, I will marry you. And in this day and time, I want to marry is not a hard thing for a man to tell you. I want to marry you, huh? So what happens? You now lose your guts, drop your standards. And before you know it, the same story repeats again. Singleness is the foundation of all human relationships, which means singleness is a prerequisite for marriage, while marriage is a prerequisite for divorce. Note these things down. Singleness is a prerequisite for marriage, while marriage is a prerequisite for divorce. Look at it. You cannot experience the pain of divorce if you are not married. True? Talk to me now, true? You can't talk about divorce except you are married. And you can't talk about a great marriage except you are truly single. While preparing for this, I recall that when I was courting my wife those days, there was this particular occasion I visited her. I had to ask her for that experience before I got here today. And I remember that she was going to make cake for me to take back to Lagos. And she had gotten about 7 eggs. But let's assume that there are only 2 eggs. She broke the first one. On point, everything was sharp. She took the second egg. I don't know how to even check if an egg is rotten, but broke the second egg and poured it into the same container, and that one was spoiled already. Guess what happened to that whole omelette? What happened to it? Got spoiled. In fact, I recall that we tried to remedy it. We thought maybe if you just, because we have spent so much buying 7 eggs, so maybe if 6 were good, just this one, we should be able to find a way to get out. We couldn't. Guess what? Everything was what? Spoiled. Look up. Many of us, I've seen, believe that there is a miracle that happens when you come to the altar to get married. Many young people think that the moment I see that dream guy, or I meet that dream man, or that dream woman, my life will just be perfect. Everything will be going well. No, sir. At this altar, there is no miracle that happens. If you have a terrible character as a young girl or as a young boy, you will bring that same measure of character into a relationship. Are you getting what I'm saying? The Bible says we should not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, because as much as you are a Christian and very serious at serving Jesus, if you get yoked to a rotten egg, what you will produce is a rotten marriage. Is someone getting what I'm saying? Huh. We are recording. That's why I can't say certain things. But listen. I have met a particular young lady who is very close to me. And I knew when she was getting married. And I think the marriage is about, 20 years ago now or something. I recall how my heart was heavy for her. Why? Because I knew she was marrying an unbeliever. Oh! You don't want to know the costs of a good egg mixing with a rotten egg. Listen. I think we should bring people who have had issues in marriage at times to come and share. Because I noticed that some of us think that marriage will make you escape all the problems in this world. Write this down. Marriage will expose you as against proving you. In marriage, it is the same single man. That thing you are before you got married, that is exactly what you will bring into the marriage. If you are a stingy person, if you are lazy, if you have character flaws, you will bring that same package into marriage. It is better to be truly single and really prepared for marriage than to jump into marriage oblivious of the fact that you will replicate yourself. I'm telling you. If you're a lazy person, you will become lazy in marriage. Trust me. If you are someone who is always, how do I put it, sticky, you don't have a life. I told you one of the reasons why I think my marriage has worked while I was preparing this is that I found out that I am still single. What does it mean to be single? I am still whole, chasing dreams, things for myself that will benefit humanity. Marriage simply amplified that drive. My wife, on her own side, also has those good virtues that she brought in from singlehood or singleness, you know what I mean, into the marriage, still living out that same life. Nothing changes in marriage. Like I said, it simply amplifies it. I've been married now for 10 years by October. And I know how beautiful it has been to walk into the room, as simple as what I'm saying is, and everywhere is sparkling neat. I know what it means to come into the room, you go to the bathroom, and you have different towels. Like, once you use this for 2 days, they change it, bring a new one. Why? Because before she got married, her idea of neatness was already in place. Are you getting what I'm saying? Brothers, if your boxers, you can't wash it when you are single, you will still have that problem in marriage. Many young men can wear one socks for 72 years, for 9 months. And when you ask them, say, no, now, he just, no, waiting to him. You know, they see, say, they black. You will bring that same thing to marriage. Nothing will change when you get married. That's what I'm saying. Let's move forward. If you neglect being single, truly single, before you get married, most likely you will have a divorce. So there's a reason why I am investing my energy. Honestly, one of the greatest joys I have with Noah's Ark, I was telling my wife last week, is that I am seeing young people who have not made too many mistakes in life yet. So when I'm preaching, and that is the beauty of the youth church. So when I'm talking, I'm not talking to old people who have already made all kinds of mistakes. And every time they're asking you, Pastor, what shall we do? See now, this one has happened, this one has happened. What am I going to do? So now I'm still trying to repair people who have not made those mistakes. Are you getting what I'm saying? You are not yet divorced. I will beg you, pay attention to these things this night. Because if you neglect them, you will rush into marriage. And trust me, you will rush out of marriage. Nothing changes. If you are a stingy person, as a lady, you are greedy, you can't see money. Once you see money, your body is shaking. You will steal from your husband. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Every time I come to this point, it touches me so much because we have handled very big projects in my house and all the monies went through my wife's account. I didn't worry. I was not worried about with money miss or not. No. I've never ever been worried for the first time for money in my house. You know why, sir? You know why? You know why? Before she got married, she was content. She wasn't making so much before we got married, but I saw how out of the little she was earning, I saw how she was saving. You're not getting it. When it was time for marriage, I saw how she volunteered. Let me buy this. Let me buy this. Let me do that. So I said, ah. But for some young ladies, no. Are you not supposed to carry on my problem? Are you not going to carry on my what's it? How does it carry on my problem? This one was willing to help from the beginning. So I wasn't afraid that money would be an issue. I knew it wasn't going to be an issue. You know why? Because as a single lady, I watched her do it. Listen, back in the day when we were cutting, when I visited her room, oh my God, her room was sparkling neat. It was one room, self-contained as a student, you know what I mean? But that room was well taken care of, like, wow. So today she has moved into two rooms. At some point, we moved into something bigger, and everywhere is still neat. So people think it's a miracle. No, it's not a miracle. She had always been like that. That's what I'm saying. We hosted some pastors recently. And honestly, while we are rounding off, some of them said, the wives especially, we don't know how you guys are maintaining this house like this. So I smiled. Why? It did not happen in marriage. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that thing was built. I saw it before marriage. Many of you are expecting a miracle to happen here. When you get married, it will not what? It will not happen. Let me rush, please. Divorce is the death of a relationship, but divorce is worse than death. Because divorce doesn't have closure. With physical death, there is closure because you see the person dead, right? But divorce, when you divorce with someone, when you go out to buy something, you will see that person. Are you getting what I'm saying? You keep seeing that person. And in church, at times you see the person. Some of you will have experienced heartbreak before. For the ladies, even for the brothers, I'm sure you don't want to come to church again. True of us. Because you know you don't want to see him again. But unfortunately, he will not die. But what happened is that it's a death. Divorce is a death of a relationship. But the person truly do not die. So everywhere you turn, you will see him. If you enter Primark, you will see the person. Anywhere you go, you see the person. It is better to be single than to be divorced. It is better to be single than to be divorced. Your marriage is as good as your singleness. I think I've overflowed that already. Marriage does not improve your singleness, but exposes your singleness. Marriage does not improve your singleness, but what? Exposes it. Listen, there are character flaws in your life that if you don't deal with, marriage will reveal it. If you are someone that is given to temper, Pastor, I have the thing they do me, I divest quick. Get ready. You will soon sleep in kiri-kiri. Because that woman will annoy you. You're not getting what I'm saying? That man will annoy you. So if you are the type that doesn't take nonsense, you better learn it as a single person how to take nonsense. Because I tell people, if you don't want nonsense, don't marry. Preach to your neighbor. Say neighbor. Hit the best. Say neighbor. If you don't want nonsense, no Mario, no Mario. So the question I want to ask this evening is, if you knew all you know about you, will you marry you? I repeat, if you knew all you knew about you as you are now, will you marry you? This question you should go home and think deeply about it. Most people don't know that Adam was not actively looking for a wife. You don't know. Adam was busy with his assignment. I will soon go there. It was God who said, it is not good that what? Talk to me that what? Adam was not looking like for wife the way many of these brothers are looking for wife now. That was not how he was looking for wife. Adam was busy with his assignments. Many ladies are too busy looking for husband instead of being busy with their work and assignments. Listen, the young lady that got married to, is it Jacob now, Isaac, went to the well. She was still feeding camels, correct? Is it not? It was in that well she was found. It's significant. Marriage should be a result of so much focus on your assignment that you need to be distracted to marry. Do you get what I'm saying? A man and a woman should be so focused trying to build themselves that they will need to be distracted. Say, come, you know, go marry. We need to distract. Say, come, you should marry. Because we see that the work is so much. If you need or if you want to marry, you don't need to marry yet. If you want to marry, leave marriage. I said you should be busy chasing your assignments as a single whole person that you will need to be distracted to marry. You bring to the marriage what you are as a single. The quality of your marriage is going to be the quality of your life today. Nothing will change. If you're not a kind person, when you get married, you will see replicating. You will be kind. Nothing will change. I'm telling you. If you are so big about money, money makes you feel like, ah, my money. You in marriage, you will do the same to your husband. Many women believe that his money is what? Talk to me. His money is what? Why my money is what? From the pit of hell. But that is what your mother or father taught you. That is what the society taught you. You want kingdom marriage, but you don't want to follow kingdom precepts. And the best time to bring those precepts into your life is now as a single person. Before marriage, I read at least 10 books. At least 10. Oh my God. I devoured everything possible. Why? I knew I was so busy educating my mind that I was coaching people who are not married and even married, even as a single person. I began to counsel I began to do marriage counseling as a single person. At some point, someone told me, you are not married, you will not understand. So, I made up my mind that I want to marry. When I marry, I want to use my own as a test case. I told my wife, before I met you, I had already loved the woman that was going to be my wife because I had read so much. Listen, love does not keep a marriage, knowledge does. I repeat, love is not enough to keep a marriage, knowledge what? Does. Every day I see young people making the same mistakes. It's so painful. And that's why these matters are so heavy in my heart. I see people who should know making the same mistakes. You are not married yet. You have moved your things into the guy's house. Who is your father? Honestly, you are doing, do they do it in last year? Cohabitation. They do it in Lasso. Are you serious? Jesus. You are not married. You've moved yourself. This guy has seen all the colors of your pants already. He has not paid bride price. Let me ask you. When the milk is free, why do we need to buy the cow? Listen. Let me move fast. There's no time. Okay, let me quickly run through what I call the myths of singleness. The myth of singleness. One, it's okay to be single, but not okay to be alone. It's obvious already. It's okay to be single, but not okay to be alone. Two, it is not a singleness problem that we have, but being single. Many people are not single. I've told you. If you need a man to validate you, you are not single. everything is doing you. I want to marry. I want to marry. And I'm asking, there's a particular young lady that keeps saying, the men are stingy. The men are stingy. And I asked her, I say, you that is not stingy, what do you bring to the table? You know the question, what I hear? We are the table. Who told you are the table? A young lady always complains, these men are stingy. You, what do you bring to the table? How valuable are you as a woman? There is a level of value you will carry as a woman. Men will rush to marry you. I'm telling you. Many ladies don't know what they carry. There is a way you package yourself as a young lady. I said men will be rushing. You'll be telling them, wait, I'm talking to this person. By the way, I hope you know, sisters, you shouldn't be talking, handling proposals from two men. I hope you know that. I'm sure we know that one here. That when a man proposes to you, until you give your response, any other man that proposes to you too, should wait. I hope you know. Do you know? Many of us think, Pastor, I have three men. So I pray, which one will I choose? You need slap. You're not getting what I'm saying. It is wrong. We need to say these things in church. When a young man tells you, sis, I like you, I want to marry you. If you don't want, straight there, tell him I don't want. Tell him direct, it's not a problem. If you tell him I want to go and pray about it, then please, while you are praying, let Frank not come and meet you. You will not add Frank to your list. Then Jide will meet you. You add Jide to your list. That is how you have seven names. I'll not bring it to pastors, not me, not my kind of pastor, but people that you bring it to. Tell them, see their names. Ade, Jide, Kelechi. Only you, seven people. You say, Pastor, I'm confused. You'll be confused, my sister. Young men, don't multi-propose. A lot is happening in church these days. Don't multi-propose. Sisters, when they tell you they want to marry you, please make sure you tell your pastors. We have seen things in church. We are young, but we have experience. Trust me. Many people are wolves. When they want to marry, they believe that go to Noah's Ark. They have beautiful ladies there. Go and catch them. You don't know. These are unbelievers who don't know Jesus. When it's time to marry, they will come here to track you. And you will think they're looking for me. I'm fine. They are pricing your destiny. They are pricing it like a local. They are pricing it. Carry your pastor along. It will save you stress. Let me tell you one of the ways to catch them. This thing you are telling me now, can we go and see the pastor? Or can we tell the pastor? Most times he will run. If he's not serious, he will run. He wouldn't want to show up. I'm telling you. But many ladies don't know. You feel if I tell him now, they will now, listen, I am happily married. It doesn't matter what happens in your own house. My own house is peaceful. If you refuse to follow the normal protocol, who will cry? Is it me? Even if you call me by 2 a.m., I like myself. I usually turn off my phone at some point. You won't get me on phone. Maybe Pastor BC, you will get her. But you won't get me. Save yourself stress. And let me be honest with you. If you do marriage the proper way, oh God, I'm trusting God to speak about the beauties of marriage. It's a beautiful thing. But in social media, many people are mad. They've done crazy things. So they've now come to say, all men has come. It's a lie. Forget it. All women are this. It's a lie. There are still decent ladies. Stop telling me, all the ladies in the church. It's a lie. I used to ask them, where are you getting these ladies that you always that want to whine you like this? Where are you getting them from? Because in my own circles, I had wonderful sisters in my circle. So I had to just settle down for one of them. But some of these men be telling me, sir, you don't understand what's happening, sir. These women are, I ask them, where do you get them from? Where are you seeing these girls from? Because even me in Noah's Ark, I've even identified a few, and I'm like, is it that you're not seeing, you know they see you, they're blind. God will give you wisdom in Jesus' name. It's not a singleness problem that we have, but being single. Three, never confuse singleness with being alone. Never confuse singleness with being alone. Four, singleness is a state of being, okay, it's a state to be pursued rather than avoided. To be single should be the goal of every married person. Like you've seen now. Wholeness. You should be whole. You should be whole. The reason why My wife does not feel threatened by any lady. It's because she's whole. I don't feel threatened by any man around my wife. Why? I am whole. Like, do you get what I'm saying? The reason why you always, if you see your fiance with any guy, you say, hey, he's cheating. It's because you don't have work. You are not busy. I'm telling you, you don't have what? Work. You are less busy. Let me not say many things here. Singleness is God's original intention. Let's see a very key scripture. Matthew chapter 19, verse 3 to 4. Matthew 19, 3 to 4. Can you please put it on the spot for me, please? Matthew 19. I wish you would. Okay, let me see. Try this. One day the Pharisees were badgering him. Is it legal for a man to divorce his wife for any reason? See question. Four. He answered, haven't you read? Read. Somebody say read. Somebody say read. When you come to say you want to marry, you meet me. The first question I'll ask you, how many books have you read on marriage? Prepare. When it has to do with marriage, you must read. You can't be lazy with reading and want to do marriage. No. Haven't you read in your Bible that the Creator originally, somebody say originally, made what? Man and what? Woman. He made man a single person and woman single. Originally, he didn't make them together. He made man. That means when this question was asked about divorce, Jesus took them back to the foundation. The foundation is wholeness, one person. He made a man. He made a man, one person. It is when we deal with the issue of this man, we can now get his marriage. Are you getting what I'm saying? Many of us need other people to be normal. No, you need to be whole as a person. So Jesus referred him to the beginning. In the beginning, it was male, man, and woman, female. Glory be to God. Are you learning anything? You don't marry people to prove yourself, but to expose yourself. Hence, preparation is the key to being and remaining single. Preparation is the key to being and what? Remaining single. You must read, prepare. So quickly, let's jump into the qualities of a single and prepared man. Qualities of a single and prepared man. Genesis 2, 15 to 18. NIV version or NLT version. Any one of them. Genesis 2, 15 to 18. I read from the NIV version. It says, the Lord God took the man. Somebody say the man. Shall say the man. And put him where? In the Garden of Eden. To walk it and take care of it. Verse 19. Verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. Verse 18. The Lord God said, it is not good for a man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. It is after he's done with what happened in 15, 16, and 17 that he now said it is not good that this kind of man should be alone. So what are the qualities of this man? One, Eden. He must be a man of God's presence. Who is that man that is single and prepared? He's a man that has learned how to dwell in God's presence. Remember, this man that was made was put in Eden. I had to check what is the meaning of Eden. Eden means perfect fellowship. Eden represents the ideal state of creation, a place of perfect harmony, innocence, and unbroken fellowship between God and humanity. Look up, sister. If that guy says he just takes one or two sticks of cigarettes weekly. He used to take one pack before you met him. But now, because of you, because of the love, he's now reduced it to two sticks. We are cutting with fire. Pastor, boy, he's changing. Listen, the things we hear as pastors, I used to go and cry at night. Lord, are these people really hearing what we are saying? I'm telling you, if you are really a true pastor, you have burdens for people. You want to marry a man who doesn't have the presence of God. My wife gave me a gist about the young man she wanted to marry at some point. She said she noticed that she'd be asking the guy, come, how far? Can't you fellowship, Jesus, all those things? Because if he didn't, the guy will not be concocting things in the power of God, in the mantle of the Holy Spirit. They talk, they messian. She said, once the guy start talking, she will not even get more angry. See, what is this guy saying? Everything was perfect. The guy, let me not go. Everything was perfect. Even the parents told her, why not marry this guy? He's from our side. One day she asked the father. The father said, why don't you want to marry this guy? And she said, Daddy, this guy cannot teach me the word the way you teach us the word. In Noah's Ark, we have more ladies than men. Think about it. Look around you. How many men do we have here? You don't know it's an emergency. You don't see what I'm seeing. So, when this guy wants to marry, he doesn't know his God's presence. He shows up and confuses you and takes you out. Because he's not a man of his presence, you will choke. You may not know now. You know, many of you don't know they are spiritual. You come to church every Wednesday, Sundays. You are hearing words. Things are building. You don't know how much you are built until you meet a man who does not know the presence of God. Even you will say, what am I doing in a strange land? How did we find ourselves in a strange land? In the night, you cry. This man cannot command and say, in the name of Jesus. Why? He doesn't know that name. You want to marry him? Because he has money. He has car. He will shock you. I'm telling you. You want to marry because of car? Because he has a good job. In this economy that he can sack people. He has a good business. You don't know that things can spoil? Who told you that it's a guarantee? Listen, there is no guarantee to anything in this world. I'm telling you. Nothing has a guarantee. You can't contemplate a man who does not know God's presence. You can't do that as a single. Number two, he must walk. Somebody say walk. Somebody say walk. I'm giving you qualities of a single and prepared man. One, what did I say? God's presence. Eden, he must be a man of God's presence. Two, he must walk. When God planted him, he gave him walk. And I'm not saying you should have all the millions. I'm saying you should have work. You should see what is work. Work is the assignment he's doing for God. You are seeing the assignment. It's clear. It's not that he's saying today, this one. No, he's sure of the work. He's sure. God gives every man work. This work embodies the assignment he's supposed to do on earth. The problems he should solve on earth. After a while, something happens to him. He becomes his work. He becomes his work at some point. Question, the man that wants to marry you, what problem is he solving in the earth? If you don't ask that question, you will cry. Three, he must have a vision and purpose. You cannot take a young lady and say, make we just they go, make we see her, make we see her as they go. The things I hear surprises me. Sis, when are you getting married? He say, make we they go, it's make we see her as they go. Make it see as they go. Imagine I come out to enter the bus when I'm going to work. Will I not ask the driver, where will they go first? Talk to me now. Will I say, the driver say, enter, make we they go, make we as we they go this way, make we see as we they go. He must have vision and what? Purpose. He should not just say it. When you see it in him, you will know he has vision, he has purpose. When you see a man with vision, he has boundaries. Oh, he has boundaries. He has boundaries. Your vision will give you boundaries. It's not everything you should do. It's not every job he will do. It's not everywhere he will go. Why? because those visions will constrain him. Remember, this man was put in a garden in Eden. He cannot stray to walk it and to tend it. That's the purpose. He knew the purpose. He understands the vision. Every man must understand his purpose. Four, he must be a cultivator. Somebody say cultivator. Somebody say cultivator. God usually gives man or men raw materials and allow them cultivate and improve it. Every man must have the ability to improve his environment and by extension, improve his woman. If you look at Ephesians 5, 25 to 27, you will notice something there. Jesus, who was showing us the perfect husband, was showing us how he cultivates the church. Is it not? Every day I watch my wife talk here, I am her biggest fan and I'm so excited. You know why? The lady I married didn't have such level of confidence. She didn't. It takes deliberate cultivation. There are some things she has attempted that I'm so excited and say, wow. Why? Because I was thinking about it when I was preparing for this. If I left my wife, maybe she would not be driving by now. She would not even be driving. Why? Because she just said, I don't want to enter the road. If I see many on the road, I feel like stopping. I say, no, my love. You will learn how to drive. You are intelligent enough to drive. It's called what? Cultivation. When I got married to her, I took time in the world. Listen, guys, there is no perfect woman anywhere. I repeat, you will not have a perfect woman. That perfect woman only exists in your what? Your head. When God gives you a woman as a raw material, your job is to bring her up to speed. You are called a husband. Husbandman, you will tend her. You will grow her. You will nurture her. You will make her bloom under you. Many men are scared of their wife's success. It means that that man does not have the quality of a prepared man. If your wife can pray for 2 hours, it should be that she got it from you because you have enlarged your capacity so much that when you start, you can do for 5 hours. So inside of the space, she can grow. But sister, I see you trying to marry a man who doesn't even, who you need to coach, you will be coaching him. It's a hard job. Can you do that job? They like it. We'll be here. It's a very hard job. I'm telling you. And you know what I'm saying? I've heard pastors in this RCCG tell me that, oh, my wife doesn't know what she's enjoying. I mean female pastors, who feel that they are dragging their husbands. They say, your wife doesn't know what it means to have a man who stands spiritually for her. A woman doesn't have to be in front. She doesn't really want to be in front. But she doesn't have a choice when the man is slacking and doing like sissy. Instead of driving us into the bush, you might say, Abel, come on, let me enter the steering. But a woman does not have to. She doesn't want to really do it. Ladies, don't pick a man you have to follow up. No. No. If you want to marry a man, he has to be a matured Christian. He should lead you. If he can't lead you, he can't cultivate you. That man is not your husband. Leave him. I'm telling you, leave him. Number five, he must be a protector. He must develop the ability to guard against and ward off unwanted elements within his territory. Brothers, look up. Oh, I teach men this. A man may not be anointed to come and lead Noah's ark. He may not be anointed to come and do another thing and raise the dead. But let me tell you, look up. By ordination, he is anointed to handle his home. Look up. He may not be anointed to lead the whole Noah's ark and lead the whole redeem, but he has an anointing for his own house. I mean, if sickness, diseases, traitors, all kinds of things want to trespass, a man has the power to stand and say, Satan, go back. Satan will fear you and go back. I'm not joking. There are times I want to pray for my wife. I will stand in my office as a husband. That office is a very powerful. In fact, it's one of the most powerful offices of a man. Sickness, cancer, If you stand well and command it, it will listen. Even God respects authority as a man in your house. There's no time to explain it, but even God respects it. So you have the responsibility to guard and protect your house. You should not allow serpents. Adam failed in this regard because Adam was watching. Do you know Adam was there watching? Serpent was checking your wife and you are looking. So they're just discussing. I've seen very careless men here. Very careless men. A serpent is discussing with your wife and you are looking and saying, oh, wow, this is very funny jokes. This is how we enter into this problem, this world. I'm telling you. If Adam said no, enough of that discussion, get out. It would have stopped there. There are many times we've gone to churches and the pastor will preach something. And when we get home, I will tell my baby, see this thing, he said, this one, leave that one. He's an anointed man, but it's not for us. This one is not for, I don't know where he got this one from. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because I'm a protector. So your wife should be able to tell you. She will come and tell you, baby, see what they discussed in my office. See what my friends were saying. Many, many wrong things they are telling ladies. Whenever they gather in their WhatsApp group, they'll be telling them nonsense. She should come and tell you my husband, see what I heard today. Tell her, don't worry. This one is not for Christians. We don't behave like this. That is how to guard your home. Many wives have gone to Babalawo and brought stones and put under the husband's pillow. You know why? Because the man is not guarding anything. If a man is guarding, if you are standing well, anything that wants to happen in your house, the Holy Ghost will open your eyes to see it. If you are really standing well. But unfortunately, you will see on Friday night here, we will have more ladies here than men. It's so sad. And God is asking, Adam, where are you? That has been a question since. Adam, where are you? Do you know I have people who think that in a marriage, that is a woman's duty to pray for the house. Is it my duty? Is it not you that should pray? I'm the one providing money. So you should be sleeping at night. Your wife will be praying. You will be sleeping. Mr. Provider. Provider. I hear you well. You are providing well. That is how come you provided. Your children have been caught by drugs, drug abuse. Meanwhile, you are providing. So when a teacher begins to mess up your daughter in school, you are still providing. Mr. Provider, you provide school fees. Your teacher is messing up your daughter in school. You are not aware. That is changing in the name of Jesus. And finally, he must be filled with the word. You will notice that in the garden, it was Adam that God discussed with. He didn't discuss with the woman. Remember? He gave him commandments. Before the woman came, he gave him, of every tree you will eat. It's there now. Is it not? So when you are courting a man, he should give you commandments that God gave him. If your husband-to-be does not have a diary to show you the things that come out of his flaming altar concerning his home, at times, he will even get the names of his children. Being a man who is on Sunday is going to be awesome. Being a man is not just having pennies. There is more to being a man, I'm telling you. You should stand as a priest. Not that they are doing morning devotion. You are sleeping. Your wife is crying. You are sleeping. I've heard all sorts. A man must have God's word. Because God spoke to him. About his home, he will speak. There is a reason why you are called the head. The head. Head. Do you know one day we were discussing with my wife. I asked her, I said, baby, she's more science inclined. I said, can we have heart transplants? Who knows? Heart transplant, kidney transplant, correct? You can even transplant leg. You can bring leg. Have you ever seen where they do head transplant before? Talk to me now. Have you seen head transplant? Why? I asked, I said, check. Why can't we have a head transplant? She checked. If they remove, what's your name? Your teenager's head and put in Wuda's head. Wuda will start thinking like teenager. So when you are the head of your home, what it means is that you stand well. Nothing must shake. If anything happens to your head, the whole family will be spoiled. I'm not joking. Many families are under attack because the men are sleeping. When God came to check the garden, he asked the question, Adam, what? Where are you? I thought he would ask Adam and Eve. No, he said, Adam, what? Where are you? You know why? In that garden, Adam was supposed to be the anchor man. Adam was supposed to be the liaison officer from heaven that was sent to keep that garden. So when God noticed there was a trespass in that garden, he didn't ask the wife. He asked the man. Sisters, look up. I will end here. If you marry a man who does not have a direct access to heaven, you will suffer. I repeat. If you marry a man who has not been, who is not single in his relationship with God, he is not nurtured to a point where he can produce fruits for his family. You have a problem, I'm telling you. You'll be weeping. You wake up in the morning, you start crying. You don't know why you're crying. Why? You'll be saying, how did I get here? You'll be so lonely. Worse, if you came from a home where your father was a real man, you have a problem. God will help us in the name of Jesus. I would have gone further, but I'm going to stop here now. I'm trusting the Lord to help us in Jesus' name. Before I pray, if you have any questions as to what has been said, can we have those questions? I will take two or three questions. This is 7:30. Can we just have like 10 more minutes for questions? Anybody questions? Any questions? If there is none, then we can pray. Any questions? Okay, close your eyes. Ask the Lord to make you prepared. Tell him, Lord, give me the grace to be single. I want to be single and whole. Help me 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 to be single and whole. May I not fail you in this generation? I will use this season of my being unmarried to build so much capacity that when I step into marriage, it will be clear that I have capacity. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Father, I pray for everyone here that is trusting you for what we just discussed. Perhaps in their own lives they've checked it and it doesn't look like they have these things. It is not to condemn anyone, Lord. It is to make us get better. I pray and ask, oh God, that you will grant everyone here the grace to begin to take steps to get better in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen.